here now, even over an hour after the hearings concluded, still chanting and protesting and thanking South Africa. The significance that South Africa brought this petition and started at the outset of their hearing yesterday, reminding the world and the court that the context is 75 years of apartheid. And of course, we all know South Africa and the South African people have emerged from a horrific battle against apartheid. They know what abandonment by the international community looks like and feels like. And it is in that spirit that they have come to this court. And also were very clear in their statement that they have come to the court out of their legal and moral obligation, but their legal obligation to do something to prevent the unfolding genocide against the Palestinian people. Today, we heard predictable arguments in response, nothing that we haven't already heard over the course of the last 3 months, and in many ways of what we've heard from the Israeli legal wing for the last 20 years, leaning heavily on self-defense, although South Africa clearly yesterday and then today in a brief statement at the steps right here in front of me reminded the world that self-defense is never a justification for genocide or any atrocity, really. The other arguments, we heard a lot of more sort of factual disputes and gaslighting and cherry picking and a lot of complaints that this everything is sort of one-sided. And the two other main legal arguments that they leveraged were essentially, first, that the court shouldn't have jurisdiction in the first place, that South Africa hadn't followed the proper procedures, that they hadn't followed the appropriate protocols, so of notice, to be in the court in the first place. And the second is that South Africa, the relief that South Africa is seeking, the provisional measures, are not something that the court is essentially permitted to grant, you know, citing various arguments to make that point. So you can't be here and then you can't do anything about it. And in the middle, everything we do is self-defense and complete deflection, and never at any point addressing incredibly powerful arguments laid out yesterday at a hearing for 3 hours by the South African legal team, the really compelling factual and legal arguments on intent, laying out, you know, the litany of statements by Israeli officials from the highest level of government all the way down to the foot soldiers, showing an environment and showing intent to commit genocide in Gaza, and everything else that was laid out. So it was really stark to sit today and listen to the arguments after a day yesterday where, frankly, for the first time in the last 3 months, we've been able to hear from beginning to end, uninterrupted, a compelling case of what we've sort of all seen play out over the course of the last 3 months. The South African legal team noted that we've been watching this on atrocities on our phones. We have been seeing Palestinians broadcast their killing and the genocidal acts live. And the South African legal team put that out to the world and to the court.
Diala, I want to turn to another clip from today's hearing. This is Deputy Attorney General of Israel, Gilad Noam, calling on the court to dismiss the charges.
This case concerns a large-scale armed conflict with tragic consequences for civilians on both sides. Yes, there is a heart-wrenching armed conflict, but the attempt to classify it as genocide and trigger provisional measures is not just unfounded in law. It has far-reaching and negative implications that extend well beyond the case before you. Ultimately, entertaining the applicant's request will not strengthen the commitment to prevent and punish genocide, but weaken it. It will turn an instrument adopted by the international community to prevent horrors of the kind that shocked the conscience of humanity during the Holocaust into a weapon in the hands of terrorist groups who have no regard for humanity or for the law. For us, provisional measures would lead to a perverse situation. It would effectively allow Hamas to continue attacking the citizens of Israel, to hold 136 hostages in unbearable conditions, to keep tens of thousands of displaced Israelis from returning to their homes, and essentially to promote its plan to massacre as many Israelis and Jews as it can.
Diala Shamas, you're standing outside The Hague. You watch this argument inside The Hague. It just concluded. Senior staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, your response.
I can't hear you.
Diala, I'm asking Hello? For your response as you sat inside The Hague, inside the International Court of Justice, your response to the arguments of Israel.
Yes, again, everything we expected, there were no new arguments raised by the Israeli legal team. Essentially, it amounted to them telling the court, trust us. Don't believe what we've been telling the world, what we have been putting out in all of our statements, the statements that have circulated clearly, you know, with genocidal intent, the saying we want to wipe out the population of Gaza, making, you know, comparisons of the famous Amalek quote. And now they're just saying, well, we're not serious there. Just trust us that we are, again, democracy with the rule of law. This is something that, this is a public image that the Israeli government has, you know, done a lot of work to cultivate over decades, and that they do everything by the book. And just don't look at the evidence. Don't look at everything the South Africans laid out plainly yesterday. Don't look at everything the world has been seeing. And just trust us that we have procedures that we are following here. And, you know, we're doing our best. And plenty of, you know, sort of concerns, and it's hard to really figure out where to start picking. But a few really concerning statements about civilians essentially making the argument that civilians have become targets, because the legal team repeatedly stated over the course of their arguments that, you know, because Hamas is operating in Gaza, Israel, you know, has to do what it has to do, and that includes the targeting of civilians. But again, fundamentally, the claim that's brought by South Africa here is the claim of genocide, which there's simply no argument that self-defense is a justification for genocide. The South African team has laid out the arguments showing intent and also the underlying acts, and the everything else is essentially a distraction.
Diala, the Biden administration is due in federal court later this month. While Israel faces charges of genocide at The Hague yesterday and today, in a case you're working on with CCR, you're taking it right to President Biden. Explain the theory of your case and what exactly you expect to happen. And is there any connection between that case in a U.S. federal court and what we're seeing right now at the U.N.'s highest court, the World Court?
Yes, I couldn't hear the full question, but I think you're asking us about the case that the Center for Constitutional Rights has brought against the Biden, President Biden, Secretary of State Blinken, and Austin, and Secretary of Defense Austin in California federal court, raising failure in their duty to prevent a genocide and complicity in genocide arguments. And that case has a hearing coming up on January 26th, where our team will be standing up in court arguing for a preliminary injunction, asking the court to order the end of military assistance and other forms of assistance, political and diplomatic assistance, to Israel in light of the unfolding genocide. The relationship is, you know, having to stand up in court and defend that a few weeks after this hearing, and possibly also after the ICJ has issued preliminary measures, is going to, you know, put this administration in a, I think it'll be one of the first tests that we'll have of how the U.S. government is responding to the ICJ, an ICJ decision, and to the arguments raised, you know, here, and the arguments that we're also raising in the U.S. case. I think we're all going to be looking to how the world responds to any preliminary measures issued by the Court of Justice. The South African attorney yesterday said, this is really ultimately a test of the very legitimacy of international law and the international legal order. If we can't stop an unfolding genocide, then what is any of it for? She made a compelling, you know, closing argument, citing to a Palestinian Munzer Issa, who spoke his sort of Christmas sermons, asking the world where, you know, what will you say where you were when a genocide was unfolding? And so whether it's at the ICJ or whether it's in federal court in the United States, we're really looking to governments to do everything that they can to uphold their duty to prevent an unfolding genocide. And having our case in the U.S. is, of course, incredibly important because the U.S. is the biggest supporter of Israel. There's been investigative reporting showing how much military aid and military support has been indispensable to Israel's assault and war on Gaza. And yet we've also seen repeated statements of unconditional support from the U.S. administration to the Israeli government, despite 3 months of daily attacks on civilians and daily statements showing an intent to destroy the civilian population of Gaza in whole or in part, the Palestinian population.
Well, I want to thank you, Diala Shamas, senior staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Again, in November, CCR sued President Biden, the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, accusing them of failing to prevent a genocide. For those who missed yesterday's show, it was just after South Africa made its case at the International Court of Justice. We wanted to bring you South Africa lawyer Adila Hassim, who helps to lay out South Africa's case at The Hague.
For the past 96 days, Israel has subjected Gaza to what has been described as one of the heaviest conventional bombing campaigns in the history of modern warfare. Palestinians in Gaza are being killed by Israeli weaponry and bombs from air, land, and sea. They are also at immediate risk of death by starvation, dehydration, and disease as a result of the ongoing siege by Israel, the destruction of Palestinian towns, the insufficient aid being allowed through to the Palestinian population, and the impossibility of distributing this limited aid while bombs fall. This conduct renders essentials to life unobtainable.
That's South Africa lawyer Adila Hasim speaking yesterday before the International Court of Justice, laying out South Africa's case against Israel, saying it's engaged in genocide in Gaza. To see excerpts of yesterday, you can go to democracynow.org. When we come back, we're going to speak with an Israeli Jewish Knesset member who's facing expulsion for saying what Israel's doing in Gaza is genocide. This is Democracy Now!, back in a minute. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we continue to bring you response to the 2 days of the International Court of Justice, the historic hearing. Yesterday, South Africa presented its case against Israel, saying what it's engaged in Gaza is genocide. Today, Israel defended itself and said they are simply engaging in self-defense. We're going to turn right now to Ronald Lamola, who is the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services of South Africa. He's part of the South African legal delegation. He responded to what Israel said.
The state of Israel today has failed to disprove South Africa's compelling case that was presented before the court yesterday. We stand by the facts, the law, and all the evidence we have submitted yesterday. And we believe and stand very confident that those facts, the law, still are in violation of the Genocide Convention. Under the Genocide Convention, nothing justifies genocidal acts currently being committed by Israel. Self-defense is no answer to genocide. Nothing can ever justify genocide. There is no balancing exercise, as Israel has sought to suggest. The prohibition is absolute. It is a primary rule of law. No matter what some individual within the group of Palestine in Gaza may have done, and no matter how great the threat to Israel's citizens might be, genocidal attacks on the whole of Gaza and the whole of its population with the intent of destroying them cannot be justified at all.
That was Ronald Lamola, Minister of Justice of South Africa, speaking outside The Hague. We end today's show with an Israeli lawmaker who is backing South Africa's genocide case against Israel, even as he faces expulsion from the Israeli Knesset. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz is reporting 70 lawmakers in the Knesset have signed a motion to expel Ofer Kassif from the legislative body after he signed a petition supporting the case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. Olaf Kassif is a Jewish lawmaker for the Arab-Jewish Hadash Tal Coalition. He denounced the move to expel him, pointing out no action has been taken against lawmakers who've called for the complete destruction of Gaza or back the removal of all Palestinians from Gaza. He's also been critical of the potential criminal negligence of the Israeli government on October 7th, he says. Ofer Kassif, welcome back to Democracy Now! Thank you for joining us from Jerusalem. Can you talk about what's happening to you in the Israeli Knesset, where you serve?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. And it's very important for me, first of all, to emphasize that I am not against Israel or anti-Israeli. I'm against the government of Israel, because the government of Israel is at the moment the most dangerous and to the Israeli society and to the Israelis. So my signature in support of the South African appeal to the ICJ is not against Israel, it's for Israel and against the Israeli government and its policies. I've been saying that, first of all, already 85 members of the Knesset signed on this. Allow me just very, very briefly to explain the process of expulsion, of impeachment of members of the Knesset. It is based on a law that was enacted on 2016, which is an undemocratic law because, of course, it allows tyranny of the majority. It allows the majority to persecute and suppress not only the freedom of speech, but the very existence of a member of the Knesset as such, that belongs to the minority, and once, you know, ideas are not exactly accepted or popular. But now, the process of impeachment goes as follows. There's a need of a minimum of 70 members of the Knesset out of 120 to sign a motion that requests to expel a member of the Knesset. Then if there is that number, if that number is achieved, it goes to the Knesset committee, in which 75% of the members are needed to vote for the impeachment in order to go through to the assembly. And once it goes to the assembly, if 90 out of 120 vote for it, then the member of the Knesset after 14 days is expelled, with the option, of course, to appeal to the Supreme Court. And that we are now on between the first and the second stage. 85 signatures were already collected, and not in the coming week, the week after, next Monday, 22nd of January, I'm about to face the Knesset committee towards my impeachment.
So talk about their arguments. What some have said, your support for the South Africa case indirectly aligns with goals of Hamas and the attack on October 7th. There were allegations by the Israeli members in The Hague today that South Africa is serving as the political wing of Hamas. Your response to all of this and what it means to you to talk as a Jewish member, an Israeli member of Knesset, being critical of the Israeli government and what they're doing right now in Gaza, calling it a genocide?
First of all, I'm very proud of my views and beliefs and of my friends and comrades' views and beliefs and our activities, because we are the only ones who totally reject any kind of violence. Accusing us in supporting, implicitly or otherwise, the terrible carnage committed by Hamas on 7th of October is not only a sheer lie that they are aware of, but it is also incitement, because they know perfectly well, I personally and my colleagues, we published time and time again in the last 100 days since the massacre committed by Hamas took place. We published everywhere. I think that I said that to you also in one of our former interviews, that we are totally against, we totally condemn the terrible crime against humanity and war crime, this massacre, and the atrocities committed by Hamas. We are totally against it. Accusing me in supporting it one way or another, this is a sheer lie, incitement that has nothing to do with reality. But they want to silence us. They want me and my friends to shut up. They don't want us to raise our voice against any kind of violence, because as I said million times, as someone who continuously for years objected and opposed the Israeli occupation and siege against the Palestinian people, I said explicitly that even the crimes of the siege and the occupation cannot and will never justify the massacre committed by Hamas. We added that the massacre, the criminal massacre by Hamas, cannot justify the massacre and assault of Israel on Gaza, in which around 30,000 people are already dead, were killed. The vast majority, more than 70%, are innocent civilians, around 10,000 children. So raising voice against those things, supporting investigation of those things. And please bear in mind that in the petition that I signed on, there's no a categorical statement, let alone by me, that Israel is guilty in genocide. It does say that it deserves an investigation, impartial investigation. And the government of Israel, or one or another branches of the government of Israel, cannot pursue an impartial investigation. It's as if we were asking a thief to investigate oneself if he did steal something or not. That doesn't make any sense. That's one of the main things in supporting the appeal by South Africa, to investigate. On top of that, we've been against the war from the beginning because we are against bloodshed. We know that the bloodshed and the terrible assault on Gaza, apart from being in itself criminal and deadly by definition, it won't bring security to no one, especially not to the Israelis. We want the bloodshed to stop. We want the war to end for the sake of lives of Palestinians and Israelis alike.
Thousands
of Palestinians. Just one sentence, please. It's not only the Hamas that makes so many Palestinians, thousands of Palestinians who are killed. Israeli soldiers are killed. The hostages are at risk because the government doesn't do anything to release them.
We have to leave it there because our show is ending. Ofer Kassif, Jewish member of the Israeli Knesset facing expulsion. That does it for our show. A deeply fond farewell to our video fellow, Sanji Lopez. You will remain in our hearts and our DNA, Democracy Now! Alumni. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby.